The local unemployment rate hit a record high of 30.1% in the first quarter, and things don't seem to be looking up as the jobs bloodbath continues, with research from the National Income Dynamics Coronavirus Rapid Mobile Survey showing that about 3 million people lost their jobs over the lockdown period, representing an 18% decline in employment from February to April. Joining me now with further insight on the research is the principal investigator of the NIDSCRAM project, Nick Spall. Thanks so much, Nick, for joining us this evening. So you've assessed the impact of COVID-19 on employment and welfare right at the top. Talk us through the methodology used.
Sure. And thanks for having me. So obviously during a pandemic, we couldn't send out field workers to go and visit people in their houses and survey them, which is the method that we would usually use to conduct a survey. So we instead decided to do a telephonic survey using an existing sampling frame. So the first part of that word, the National Income Dynamics Study, or NIDS, is a study that UCT has been running for over 10 years. So what we did was we used the telephone numbers of the people that were surveyed in 2017 and followed them up by phoning them now, asking them questions about their employment, covering about 7,000 individuals and their households.
And like I highlighted, we've seen employment levels decline by 18% over the February to April period, with vulnerable groups the most affected. How's this different to the employment data collected by Stats SA, or is it very much correlated?
So I think that's a great question, and it's an important caveat that a lot of the researchers make, is that we don't yet know how you can compare the results of telephone surveys with in-person surveys. But note, this is also a problem that Stats SA are going to encounter, because the quarterly labor force survey for quarter two, they're also doing that survey telephonically, although quarter one survey was done in person. So one thing to note is that our sample does have a slightly higher employment rate in 2017 compared to the QLFS data. It's about 5 percentage points higher. Mm-hmm. So the probability of being employed in our sample is slightly higher than the probability you would be employed, for example, in QLFS. But it doesn't mean we think that the trends that we're seeing are very large job loss. Of around 3 million people, as well as who are losing their jobs, we think that that's an accurate reflection of what's going on in South Africa, and that the QLFS data later in the year is going to show the same thing, that the people that are most affected are at the bottom of the distribution.
I want to home in on the detail there in terms of, you know, the collateral damage of the lockdown and who's felt the pain more aggressively.
Sure. So let's start with gender. So of those 3 million people that lost their jobs, 2 million of them were women. So women have clearly felt the brunt of the job loss much more than men. They account for two-thirds of all job losses between February and April. We should also look at income loss, though, because it's not just people that have lost their jobs. It's sometimes you have people, there are an additional 1.5 million people that report that while they have a job to return to, they earned no income in April. So these are the kind of furloughed workers that we would think of. But to get to your question of who's been most affected, if you look at the poor, defined here as those earning less than 3,000 Rand a month, 38% of them lost their jobs between February and April, compared to only 5% of the rich, defined here as being earning more than 24,000 Rand a month. So the job loss has been concentrated amongst those that are earning less than 6,000 Rand a month, and particularly amongst those that are earning less than 3,000 Rand a month.
Yeah. Nick, bringing us then to the crux of it all and what research like this achieves at the end of the day, do you see this triggering a more targeted response to tackling the unemployment crisis in South Africa and the kind of impact this is going to have undoubtedly on inequalities within the social network?
So I think that one of the reasons why this type of evidence is really important is it gives us an indication of who's actually experiencing the job loss. So for example, I mentioned that 2 million of the 3 million job losses were women, but SASSA reported to NEDLAC at the end of June that of all of the COVID-19 grants, you know, these new unemployment grants, the 350 Rand a month, two-thirds of those grants have been paid out to men. So how is it that two-thirds of job losses are women, but two-thirds of the unemployment grants, these new unemployment grants, are being paid to men? I think that's one of the benefits of this sort of data, is that we can start interrogating that and saying, is that how it's meant to be? That needs to change.
Nick, do you see discoveries here actually filtering through and influencing the way something like the basic income grant, which is being bandied about at the moment, could be rolled out?
So I think that what our data is showing is that the existing social protection system that we have in South Africa of the child support grant, the old age pension, etc., those are incredibly well targeted to the poor, in the sense that the vast majority of money that's allocated to those grants end up in the pockets of poor people in South Africa. But it does mean that there are some people that are still not being captured by the grant system, particularly those that are losing their jobs. So 30% of people that lost their jobs are not in households where someone receives a grant, for example, and that would be covered by something like the basic income grant. The big question is how we can pay for it. Given the fiscal climate that we're in, we obviously need to find resources to pay for that. We can't wave a magic wand and say we need a basic income grant. We need to find the funds for it. And I think that's where the difficult questions around taxes and redistribution come in, because at the end of the day, we have to pick what we're going to pay for, whether it's a basic income grant or national health insurance or a number of other
priorities. Are you seeing any encouraging signs of new social compacts being formed or new mechanisms as far as funding projects like these are concerned?
So I think the one encouraging finding from this, I can share two. One is that there was clear evidence of kind of altruistic behavior of parents, which, I mean, we expected it, but altruistic behavior of parents shielding their children from hunger. So even though they are experiencing hunger, one in five households reported that they experienced hunger, only one in seven households reported that a child went hungry. So it's very clear evidence of parents shielding their children. But the broader macro question that you're asking there of, you know, is there a silver lining to any of this? I think that one thing we can point to is that these big shocks to the South African system and the South African economy are likely to, I think, be the straw that broke the camel's back. I think we're going to realize that our current system of that has extreme inequality is not sustainable, and rather than being this kind of frog that's boiling slowly on the stove, we're actually going to get the shock of realizing this is not possible. This is not sustainable. We have to do something about it.
Well, Nick, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Nick Spall is with Stellenbosch University and is the principal investigator of the NIDS CRAM research project.